Best in Class wraps up its off-season division-by-division draft review today. AFC West is on the docket. Sean Sullivan sprints through the draft picks, what it means, who can do what, who can't, all about the AFC West, which of course is a loaded division, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. Follow Sean on Apple Podcasts. You can go back to your favorite division now and get a draft review that will prime you for the regular season. It's fast. It's furious. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are so close to real football. It's so exciting. This week, I'll be breaking down some of the rookies and how they've been doing in their first preseason games. And now it starts, ladies and gentlemen. We now have football from now until January. Very exciting stuff. I'm looking so forward to it. This is the best 30 minutes of NFL football that you're going to get in the country, and I get to bring it to you. It's one of the things I love to do, just straight football talk, after we do the sponsor. Bill Curry Ford has been serving the Tampa community for over 65 years. This is our 65th birthday this year. And the Curry family would like to thank the Tampa community for allowing us to serve them and allowing us to continue to do business for 65 years. And by the way, we have never been acquired by a big conglomerate, and that's pretty much what's happened to everything. Everything is just getting smushed into like a cookie cutter deal where the dealerships aren't really great to their communities because they're corporate. Remember, corporate dealerships spend nothing in the communities. Family-owned stores become part of the community. We give money to charities. We sponsor local sports. We do a lot of things inside the community to do what's called grassroots advertising and to build value in not only our product, but our relationships with Tampa. Corporations don't. So when you're looking to buy a new vehicle, service a new vehicle, or if you need a part, please visit BillCurryFord.com, which is basically the first family of Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. We have amazing specials going on in August right now. We have 0-0-0. That's 0%, zero down payment, and zero payments for 90 days. It's a really great thing, and summer is ending, so this is the last days of the summer sale. So right now is the best time to schedule your mobile visit for free, your pickup and delivery for free. If you have a recall, if you got an announcement on a recall, don't worry. Just call us. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com. You can do it right online. Schedule will come right out to your home and do the recall right in your driveway, right on a Sunday where you get to watch NFL football. So lots of great things going on. I'm very privileged, again, to do this podcast. We're doing AFC West. We're going to finish up the AFC West, and we're going to bounce right into the first week of preseason and the rookies. So I just can't tell you how excited I am. So let's go. Let's get going. So AFC West, we're going to start with the Broncos. Broncos with Sean Payton, boo, right? But I'm going through it. The Broncos have been absolutely killing the draft. And in the first round, they picked Jadeveon Barron, cornerback out of Texas. They picked him 20th overall. This guy's a stud, an absolute stud at corner. He's going to start for Denver. He's going to give Denver a lot of strength in that backfield, in that defensive backfield. They're going to pair him with one of pro football's best in Patrick Surtain II. He's a versatile coverage defender. He's the highest graded cornerback in college football last season with a 91.9 rating. He had over 400 college snaps last year. He's a natural zone defender. He has great instincts. He can play any position in the secondary, and he can get turnovers. And by the way, I was able to talk to him at the draft at the NFL Combine. Just a solid individual out of Texas. So congratulations, Denver. You added a real football player. Now, in the second round, pick 60, we're going to go into one of my favorite players in the draft, a sneaky guy, and that's R.J. Harvey, right in our own backyard out of UCF. He's a running back. I watched him play. I think he's special. Obviously, he went much higher than a lot of people expected. There were a lot of running backs that went in the third or fourth round. He went in the second round, pick 60. So it's obvious that Sean Payton, even though I don't like him, we obviously can't argue with his acumen as a football coach. Can't argue with that part. I just don't like him as a person. But breaking down, he obviously understands talent, and he recognized R.J.'s Harvey's talent and drafted him. Now remember, this is the same guy that drafted Alvin Kamara. Very similar backs, great contact balance. He forced 69 missed tackles last year, elite change of direction. He's been an absolute stud in mini camp. Sean Payton's talked about him several times about how he's dominated their camps. And I can't wait to see him in the preseason. By the way, he only had 43 touchdowns in the last two seasons in college football. R.J. Harvey is a name to keep an eye on. He's now going to split carries with J.K. Dobbins. So you know that Denver's going to be a run-heavy offense. They have that really amazing zone scheme, which is really interesting. And they continue to do that. They are a terrific run team. Bo Nix is going to, obviously going into his second year, he had an amazing first year. But look for R.J. Harvey to split carries with J.K. Dobbins and look for him to probably be a first down back who's going to get you over 5 yards a carry. In the third round, pick 74, they went with Pat Bryant out of Illinois. Big receiver, 6'3", 200 pounds, not high-end speed. He has some quickness off the line. Very, very strong. So you're not going to be able to really pin him down on the line. You're not going to be able to disrupt, I don't think, his route running. But he's got great hands. He's going to be a good blocker. He's probably going to be an X. But he's an interesting player. I can see that. He's not special. He's a solid, I think, number three wide receiver. I don't think he's going to be a two. But listen, he's going to a quarterback in Bo Nix that gets the ball out and does a terrific job with his accuracy. So that might be a really good pick for him. I think they really like his run blocking. So no, this is not a Michael Clayton conversation about how we're going to sign him as a blocker, not a receiver. Pat Bryant is a receiver. He just happens to be a terrific run blocker. In the third round, pick 101, they picked an edge in Savion Jones out of LSU. Definitely a natural fit in their front. I think he's got length and he's got a good motor. I think he played at a big university in the SEC. I just think he needs a lot more time to develop, and I think he's going to get into the rotation with Denver. I'm going to put a pin in that one because I think that could actually be a good pass rusher, you know, something the Bucs have really struggled with. And with David Walker having a torn ACL, which is terrible, and he's going to miss this season, I really wanted to see him play. That kind of leaves us with like Chris Braswell as the backup, so we'll see how that goes. In the fourth round, pick 134, another edge in Quandarius Robinson out of Alabama. He was an okay pass rusher at Alabama. He had a 90.3 pass rushing grade, if you like pass rushing grades. I think that in the fourth round, how can you really go wrong with drafting another pass rusher? He's got the right size. He can play in this defense. But again, I don't see anything special about him at all. But he's just a guy. He's a Jag to me when you look at him. But I think with the fact that he played at Alabama, the fact that he was a highly ranked recruit, he has some physical gifts that I think might translate. Kind of like, again, same kind of Chris Braswell conversation, except Braswell is a second-round draft pick. In the sixth round, pick 216, they picked a punter. Not going to talk about a punter. In the seventh round, tight end Caleb Lohner out of Utah. Here's a tight end. He played in only 43 receiving snaps last year, and he caught 5 passes with 4 touchdowns. So this is a guy that was not used very much at Utah. They kind of just took a flyer on him in the seventh round based on his athletic profile. He was a dual sport athlete. He played basketball and football. This is my guess, but Jimmy Graham was a similar style guy that Peyton really liked in New Orleans, who also played basketball. This guy's a basketball player turned a tight end. So out of the 5 passes he caught, 4 were touchdowns. So it's a pretty good percentage. I think this is a good, in the seventh round, how could you go wrong with this guy? If he makes the team, it's very interesting. Looking back at their draft, though, between Jahdae Barron and R.J. Harvey and Pat Bryant, I think they got 3 players that are going to contribute right away with 2 starters. And they grabbed edge depth with Jones and Robinson. So I think that's a very interesting draft for Denver. Moving on to Kansas City Chiefs, Ira's second best team to the Buccaneers. I'm sure he'll tell you that, too. First round, Josh Simmons, tackle out of Ohio State. They needed to improve this offensive line, and Simmons has been a star in minicamp for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been unbelievably good. I think he's going to be there for a long time. He's really shown that he belongs. Great pick, last pick of the draft, the first round. What a great pick out of Ohio State. In the second round, pick 63, an interior defensive lineman, Omar Norman Lott out of Tennessee. This was a guy who was linked to the Bucs many, many times. He probably was the best pass-rushing defensive tackle in the entire class, and they got him at pick 63. He plays with violence, has some great speed. I think he's going to start for Kansas City. I think he's a solid player, and I think he's going to develop into a name, meaning he's going to make a name for himself in this league. And the third round, pick 66, they picked an edge, Ashton Gillett out of Louisville. Again, they went inside, and then they went outside. I think he's an okay pass rusher. Again, He's much better against the run. I think he's going to have to develop as a pass rusher, but they picked him at 66. I think this is a little high for him. But anyway, I love the first two picks from the Chiefs. And then the third round pick at 85, cornerback Noel Williams out of Cal. This is a press man corner. I absolutely love him. He fits in exactly what the Chiefs do on defense with Spagnuolo. Look for him to get into that mix right away. He had 7 interceptions last year, and I really love him as a player. I think he's going to get some playing time. In the fourth round, they picked Jalen Royals as the wide receiver out of Utah State. He could play inside, outside. I think he brings some depth to the wide receiver group. I think that Jalen fell a little bit. I think he was thinking he was probably going to go in the second round, possibly the top of the third round, but going in the fourth round, pick 133 is a steal for the Chiefs. I didn't think they could pass over Jalen Royals. I think he's going to offer a lot to them. I think you'll see him catching some balls this year. In the fifth round, linebacker Jeffrey Bassa out of Oregon. This was a guy that was linked to the Bucs over and over again as an off-the-ball linebacker who can really guard at that tight end, running back out of the backfield, has terrific coverage ability. He's also an effective blitzer. I don't like his size. I think he's going to fit really well into Spagnuolo's defensive scheme, but this size does freak me out a little bit because the problem with having an undersized linebacker, unless they're extremely gifted, like a Levante David, they struggle to get off blocks in the NFL. Here's a guy that's going to have to use his speed. He's not going to be able to use his strength to really make a difference. The next round, Burchard Smith is a running back out of SMU, late pick, 228. He's going to be a special teams player. He's a former wide receiver turned running back. I think he's one of those guys that's going to show a little bit because he's a little exciting guy. And I think he's going to play special teams. I think he's going to work his way into the rotation. And that's Burchard Smith. But that's all the draft picks for the Chiefs. Going to the Raiders, and I got to meet Pete Carroll at the Combine, which is really interesting. He actually had the suite next to mine at the hotel. Very tall guy. Like, he's much taller than I expected, but seems to really have a great personality, seems to be engaging. I am not a fan of Pete Carroll, so didn't like him in college, and I sure as hell don't like him as a sea chicken head coach. But I did have a nice visit with him, so I'll give him that. In the first round, pick 6, Ashton Jeanty out of Boise State. The Raiders needed a difference maker. They got it in Jeanty. He's going to be great. He's going to be a workhorse. The Raiders had one of the worst run games in all of the NFL last year. I mean, it was horrible. And I think basically getting Geno Smith at corner, at quarterback, and then they come back with Jeanty. And then, of course, you know, they have a terrific tight ends in one of my favorite players in Brock. And then they have Mayer, who was the prior year out of Notre Dame, another tight end. So they have terrific depth at tight end. They have one of the, and Bowers, they have one of the best tight ends in the league. And now they've added, I think, a top running back. So we'll see how it goes. But I love that pick for them. In the second round, they picked absolutely one of the best players in the draft, in Jack Besh out of TCU. He's a wide receiver. This guy is unbelievable hands. Like, he does not drop the ball. I think that he's going to, he only had one drop pass, by the way, in his entire career. So that's pretty incredible in college. I just love the story. If you guys don't know his story, I don't want to tell you about it, but it's worth look up Jack Besh and then look up his story with what's happened to him and what he's gone through to get to where he's at. He had 1,000 yards last year and 9 touchdowns. He was a star of the Senior Bowl. Just an all-around great guy. I think he's going to be a star for the Raiders. I really do. In the third round, Darian Porter out of Iowa State. Here's a guy that I actually talked to Jason Light about at the Combine. And I said, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but he's one of the best zone corners. And he also played safety. So he can play dual threat. He's long, just like Jason Light likes his corners. Of course, Jason Light wouldn't tell me anything about him because he was keeping it secret if he liked Porter or not. But I think he's a very cerebral player, great length, great speed. I think he's going to be a starter in the NFL. I think he might be a starter this year. I absolutely love him. And, you know, being that Pete Carroll drafted these types of guys when he was with Seattle, he reminds me of definitely that Legion of Boom with the size and speed, and the fact that he can play safety in corner really reminds a lot of people of Richard Sherman. And I know that's a crazy comparison, but if you watch Darian Porter on film, you'll see what I'm saying. And by the way, he's really, really fast. He's much faster than I think any corner that Pete Carroll's ever drafted. So that's exciting for him. And in the third round, pick 98, Caleb Rogers out of Texas Tech. He's a guard. He's got experience at tackle and guard. He had 55 starts, 4,300 snaps across 5 seasons. Here's a guy that brings just a ton of experience, has terrific athleticism. He has the ability to play this at such a high level. Again, and to get a starting guard in the third round is a terrific job. Caleb Rogers out of Texas Tech, I think he starts for them right away. Another pick in the third round, Charles Grant, the tackle out of William Mary. This was one of Kuiper's favorite guys. He said this guy, it was a sleeper left tackle in the draft, and I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a swing tackle for the Raiders, possibly playing right and left. Very raw guy, quick feet, great length. He played at William & Mary, and I think they're going to bring him along, but I think you're going to see him playing both tackle positions. He's going to getting a swing tackle that could develop into a starter in the third round, pick 99, is a terrific job, Raiders. In the fourth round, pick 108, wide receiver Dante Thornton out of Tennessee. Listen, Vegas needs wide receivers. You probably can't name some top wide receivers besides Brock Bowers. The guy runs a 4.3. He fits the Raiders' mold. Super fast. Can play special teams. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not a huge fan of his. In the fourth round, Tonka Hemingway out of South Carolina. He's an interior defensive lineman. Has some pass rush ability in that interior, but he's going to bring size and speed and run-stopping ability to that defensive line. That is a terrific pick, and I think you can hear the Raiders in Las Vegas going, Tonka, Tonka. You can hear it already. It's going to be his nickname. But the guy is a pretty decent interior defensive lineman, and he's going to get paired with some really terrific players with the Raiders. In the sixth round, they went back to the interior defensive line with J.J. Pegues out of Mississippi. Here's a guy, again, solid run defender, almost 80% on the grades, not much of a pass rusher. But again, between Hemingway and J.J., they're going to have much more meat in that defensive line, a better rotation than they had last year. And again, in the sixth round, they picked QB Tommy Mellett out of Montana State. Mellett was not one of the guys that I reviewed during my quarterback breakdown. All I kept hearing was he doesn't have an NFL arm. So I really didn't look at him as a quarterback. I don't even think that Pete Carroll's looking at him as a quarterback. They might actually change him because of his speed and athleticism. They might change position, or maybe he's going to be a gadget player where he's just going to do like a, what would be the wildcat? He's probably going to be somebody that possibly would run the wildcat for Pete Carroll. In the sixth round, they drafted another quarterback and Cam Miller out of North Dakota State. Now, here's a guy that actually, when he has a clean pocket, he's a pocket passer, pretty accurate with the ball. I think this is a guy, this is a camp arm for sure, but this is a practice squad player in Cam Miller. This is a guy that can be developed. We'll see how it goes. In the seventh round, linebacker Cody Lindenberg out of Minnesota, excellent run defender, had 25 run stops, 7 in week 11 against the Rutgers. He had a 61% coverage grade, which isn't eye-popping. That's not really that great. But he never allowed a touchdown in coverage during his college career, which is pretty crazy. But in the seventh round, here's a special teams player who might get some snaps if they're losing against the run. But as you can see, the Raiders really got some special players on offense. And with Porter on defense, that was terrific. And then they went interior defensive line. Wow, that's a really good draft for the Raiders. Los Angeles Chargers went in the first round, pick 22. They went with Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina. So after Gente, Hampton was the best running back. And they did sign Najee Harris for the backfield. But again, I think you're going to see Hampton get most of the carries. He's extremely gifted. He can catch the ball. He had 4.29 yards after contact last year at North Carolina. This is a guy I think with a terrific quarterback in Herbert is going to be able to do both run and catch for the Chargers. I think he fits right into what Harbaugh is going to do. I think he's going to be one of Harbaugh's favorite players. In the second round, pick 55, Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. Harris caught 7 touchdown passes from Jackson Dart last year with 900 receiving yards. Here's a guy that Michael Irvin was really high on. Chris Sims actually thought that he was a vertical threat as well and actually was a very underrated wide receiver, but I think he's going to complement Ladd McConkey really good because McConkey's out of the slot. They're going to put Trey Harris on the outside. This is a really intriguing pick for me. If you think about for fantasy football, which if you're a fantasy football guy, Trey Harris might be a guy that you're looking at because McConkey's already going to be a stud. We know that. But here's a guy that on the rookie leagues, not on the regular fantasy, but in like the rookie leagues, this might be a guy to look at. In the third round, pick 86, interior defensive lineman Jamiri Caldwell out of Oregon. He had 22 pressures from the interior line, 16 across the previous 2 years combined. So you could see he really worked on his pass rushing skills from his junior to senior year. He's one of the best players against the run at 81.6 run stuffing grade. I think he's a nose. I think he's going to play nose in Harbaugh's defense, and you can never have enough of these guys. I think he's going to be in the rotation right away. In the fourth round, they went with an edge out of South Carolina in Kyle Kennard. I think he has good value in the fourth round. The guy, some people had him in the third round, some people had him in the lower of the second round. But I think he's going to play more outside linebacker in the NFL, and I think he's going to give you pass rush from that position. He had 184 pass rushing snaps with an 80% pass rushing out of the two-point stance. So, you know, here's a guy that had a very productive career at South Carolina, plays with some violence, very physical player. Again, fits right into what Harbaugh does with his defense. In the fifth round, wide receiver Ke'Andre Lambert-Smith out of Auburn. This is a guy that with 4.37 speed is just a one-trick pony. He doesn't really do anything but stretch the field. When you have Herbert there, you know, Herbert can throw the ball down the field. I think they just wanted to add some speed. He also can play special teams, so watch for that as well. In the fifth round pick, 165, tight end Orondo Gadsden, the second out of Syracuse. As a tight end, he 60.7% of his catches last year were contested, which you can say that's a really good thing, and that's going to say, well, he doesn't really separate very well in college. So we'll see how that goes. Again, this guy Gadsden, he had 9 deep catches last year. He had some contested catches. I don't think he's much of a blocker, but we'll see how that goes. In the sixth round pick, 199, Branson Taylor out of Pittsburgh. He's a tackle. He can play both sides. He had 6'6", 330. That's pretty crazy. He suffered a season-ending injury in week 7, which means he wasn't able to perform at the combine or at a pro day. So here's a guy they're taking a chance on being healthy. This guy was probably a third-round pick, possibly a fourth-round pick, but he might be able to be a swing tackle for them if he's healthy. In the sixth-round, safety R.J. Mickens out of Clemson. This is a great value. This is a guy that was like a fourth-round pick, solid fourth-round pick. They got him in the sixth round. He's the son of a former NFL player, Ray Mickens. Here's a guy that knows how to play, has a pedigree, very smart player. He will make the team, write it down. He'll make the team for San Diego. He's a steal in the sixth round, and I think he'll be in the mix this year with playing time. In the seventh round, pick 256, they picked another safety in Trakeezy Bridges out of Florida. He had 2,000 defensive snaps over the last 4 seasons across 3 years at Oregon and then 1 season with the Gators. He was an outside cornerback and a safety at 6'3 with a 4.54 speed. That's pretty impressive. I think he's going to stay at safety, but it is really cool that you have slot versatility with him, and I think he's also a good special teams player. The fact that he got so many snaps and with that speed and size, I think that even if he doesn't get into the rotation the first year, I think he makes the team as a special teams player. I really do. So that concludes the Chargers. And again, between Hampton and Harris and Caldwell, I think they got some guys, but they got some really good football players. You could see how Harbaugh drafts. And I really like the Raiders draft as well. I think Pete Carroll really put his stamp on that team. The Chiefs, of course, went interior and exterior lines defensively and offensively, which was really smart. And the Broncos added what I think possibly might be 4 starters to a playoff team last year with Bo Nix. So, again, the AFC West has some really good teams. I expect the Raiders to bounce back. I expect the Broncos to be a playoff team. Obviously, the Chiefs can contend for a Super Bowl every year with Patrick Mahomes. And the Chargers, I think the Chargers are a 10-win team. And I think that defense is going to be much improved this year. So that concludes our AFC West roundup. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all of your social media. Please leave me reviews at Apple Podbean. Please leave me some reviews. That would be great. Please visit us at BillCurryFord.com to see all of our amazing specials with the 000 and to schedule your mobile and pick up and delivery. And if you just want to come in for an oil change, we do an oil change in less than an hour, and we do a really good job with our new quick service as part of the largest service drive in the United States, which is really great. I'll see you guys in a few days. I'm going to be breaking down week 1 rookies that are starring in the preseason. And by the way, I can't wait to talk about Shedeur Sanders. What a game. I'll see you guys next time.